I'm ready. Oh boy. Woo! Late Ill Kid at one, you're still holding it down, bringing that street geek and nerd. So what is up, my people? Today, oh yeah, coming with another wonderful episode of On Screen. Glad to have you here. Good to see your beautiful sunshiny faces. And we talk about some Star Trek Discovery. Man, I'm so glad this show is back. Glad this show is back. Said I'm glad this show is back. Anyway, before we get started off, big shout out to all my Patreon supporters. Big shout out to Panda, Jamal Lee, Tyler Bennett, Thought Crimes, Enrique Carry On, Tim I, KB23. Look, it's a whole list. The whole list of y'all, you guys help so much. Also, big shout out to Blurtish. Big shout out to Thought Crimes. Big shout out to Double Toasted doing their thing. Formerly Fan Bros for All Nerds. Blurred Girl. I'm losing people. Blurred Over. Blurtish. I think I already said them. You know, shouts out to everybody. Glad y'all doing y'all thing. And don't forget SP the Soul Prophet that brought us in with that dope music. You can check him out on IG. That's right. And Arcatron, the rest of the Four Horsemen, and War High Sign. I just heard some new music from him. Crazy. And PL Parker Lewis. But we here now. We on the planet. You know what I'm saying? We finally get to see how the Discovery arrived. And, you know, in the last episode, you know, we were talking about, like, hey, the way quantum whatever timing or whatever, they could land tomorrow or they could land 85 years from now. You know, who know when they're gonna land, who know when they're gonna come out. So we do now know that it's been a year since, you know of course Michael Burnham came here a year ago, and now now here come the star, you know, Star Trek, you know, Discovery. They're here now. This episode is an episode that I liked a lot because it had a great mixture of the characters, kind of, you know, character and attitudes mixing and melding. Before I get into those characters that were mixing and melding, I want to say two things. One, the effects on this show. The effects on this show are still stellar. Like, man, yo, y'all doing it. Like, I ain't gonna front. Y'all are doing the dang thing. Shouts out to all the behind the scenes folks, you know, all the directors, the you know, the concept artists, the, you know, the effects, you know, the editors. Yo, this joint is put together well. The cinematographers, this joint. Ooh, we're looking at a third season that does not seem to be showing any signs of slowing down, which is something that I'm happy about. You know what I'm saying? The show is still killing it. And this is an episode that kills it through character. Also, I wanted to add in the parasitic ice. I thought that was very creative. I've never seen anything or heard anything like that. Maybe it's been in Star Trek before, but I haven't seen every episode of every Star Trek ever. So maybe it's another one that I haven't seen, like Enterprise or something, but I've never seen it before. I thought it was a cool, you know, a cool, nifty take on, you know, the danger and the evolve, you know, the evolution of a planet and how dangerous a planet could be. Just in its weather and nature, you know what I'm saying? Not meaning like a, like animals or something, but just its precipitation or whatever. So that's dope. But outside of the way, man, it's good to see the crew back together again. I really like to see Saru, man, from knowing where he came from. Yo, Saru, yo, man, yo. Making me proud out there, acting captain. You know what I'm saying? He captain boy. You saw You know, they came through the wormhole. It was looking like they was about to crash. Did you see him panicking? Nah. He got up in his chair. You know what I'm saying? He made sure he kept everybody calm and cool. He directed everyone. They braced for their impact. They impacted the heck out of that planet. It was like a big rock of a planet just floating away. It's like a low atmosphere asteroid or something. I don't know. Whatever it was. It was just up there. They hit it hard. Then, you know what I'm saying? They had the plans to, you know, shoot the ground. And all of these effects were crazy good. But I got to give it to him, man. I got to give it to him. Steady, sure of himself, trusting in his crew, believing in their ability, you know what I'm saying? Not like micromanaging and stuff. You know, these guys are family. They have more so. I remember at the end of season one, I was like, these guys are family. Nah, man. Like, they have truly grown. This is on another level. Because, of course, we know before the Vitari? What happened to Saru? Remember when his little things was acting weird and he got sick and he thought he was going to die, but he didn't die? Whatever that was. Remember he used to be, you know, Saru used to be kind of like, you know, he worried a lot. But now to see him sure of himself, see him handle himself in a fight as well, like, yo, man, I'm proud of him. They hit the ground. He rallied the troops. You know, we're going to be all right. You know, we got to find Michael Burnham, but right now we got to handle this ship. We got to keep it together. And not only was that scene directed well from kind of like a monologue standpoint, but also all of the body language on the people that were responding to him showed that they trusted this guy. They believed this guy to get them through. You know what I'm saying? I just like that moment on the bridge. And then also showing people around the ship, just kind of like trusting in this mission that they're on. It's really dope. It's really dope. So into the different relationships, we got Giorgio, we got Saru. Boy. All right, so check it. Philippa Giorgio is a problem. I love Philippa Giorgio. I'll talk about her a little bit later solo, but Philippa Giorgio and Saru are like oil and water, and I love seeing them together because Saru is doing his best to not go crazy, because you know you do have a whole ship and everybody else to handle, but you know Giorgio tries very hard to get on your last nerve. So the way his nerves is set up. seeing them go back and forth about needing engineers, seeing them going back and forth about responsibilities, seeing them go back and forth about anything, even when it comes to defense / killing people, you can see, you know, they're at odds in a lot of ways. And I think they play off each other so well. I can't say enough. Michelle Yeoh, I've been a fan of hers for years and years. As someone who used to love like action flicks back in the 80s and 90s, you know, when I was just a wee tot. But seeing their interesting play against each other, because remember Philippa Giorgio is a captain. No, not only a captain, wasn't she like the empress of like the evil empire on the other dimension? Like, so you know, like she is, no, it's not like he's talking to someone who ain't got no experience. Her old girl is the real deal. But just seeing them go back and forth and her being like, yo, look, if I would have stayed at the other joint, you know, they would have made me the head of Section 31, and I won't do that. Like, I want to be free to run around and beat people up as I see fit. And that energy with Saru and him trying to contain her, when possible, or kind of guide her in ways where it won't be crazy. Because he's like, yo, we're still Federation Starfleet, even though Federation Starfleet ain't really Starfleet right now. We'll get into that later. I like that. I like that. And then Jet Reno, man. Yo, I love that girl. I love that girl. Ever since we met her in season two, I have loved Jet Reno, and her and Stamets together is just, it's another great pairing on this episode. Big shout out to Technomaster. Good to see you in the chat. Technomaster says, yes, Giorgio is used to running the shots. Also back in her universe, she used to eat his species for dinner, literally. True that. I forgot. You're right on that one. But I'm not sure she realizes Saru is a natural apex predator. Oh, yeah. And remember, homie had the little flaps. He was like, kak, kak. You know what I'm saying? You got to take somebody out. So Stamets, with his pain, you know what I'm saying, and Hugh bringing him back to life, not bringing him back to life, but, you know, just nursing him to health, and him trying to force himself to be part of this, you know, repair mission or whatever. And of course, you know, I mean, we know it's going to work, but it's just the journey to it. Him versus Reno over and over again with all these quips, all these little side jokes, all these kind of like little disses. I'm here for it, man. It makes the show way more touching, because we know Reno she's a teddy bear, but she's just, you know, she's got that kind of snarky, arrogant, you know, quippy exterior. I do like how old girl came to her, the other new girl from season two, and I can't remember her name, I apologize, but she has like the stuff on her cheeks so she can breathe. Whatever race she is, and I completely forgot. But when she came to her, she was like, yo, Giorgio said she was coming down here. She was like, when does Giorgio ever do what she's supposed to do? So that was cool. But seeing her playing off of Stamets the whole time, even when he was in pain, kind of driving her forward, and then having Stamets saying, like, thanks for nothing at the end of it when they got the ship up, I really enjoyed that. Just the writing. The writing is well done. And the way these actors and actresses play their characters, it seems genuine. It seems like these people really know and work with one another. And not as actors, but like, these are people in Federation Starfleet that have to deal with each other day in and day out. And I love it. I love it a lot. Into the chat, Technomaster says, I hope we get to see Saru go ham on some folks once this season, because they're going to have to pull Starfleet back together before they can try to rebuild the Federation. The disco crew going to get dirty. Yeah, I do believe the disco crew going to get dirty, because here's the deal. In the bar on the colony, Saru could have stopped Giorgio earlier, but he kind of let her work a little bit, because she killed two of those dudes. You know what I'm saying? I think the guy behind the bar killed a guy, and she killed two guys. And she was getting ready to kill the head guy, but Saru was like, all right, come on now. Come on now. We Starfleet. We can't be killing everybody. But she was right. She was like, had I not been here, he would have killed you, killed her, and been over to the ship, probably trying to kill everybody else. So we do have, I mean, it's kind of like that thing with Lovecraft Country where we were going back and forth about, you know, D killing Christina. You got to. I can't leave this to chance. I don't know. They'll be like, leave her to die. Nope. Mm-mm, I need to confirm this. You know what I'm saying? So we'll see how, what is it? What's his name? Zara. Is it Zara? Or Zara? Zara. I think it's Zara. We'll see how Zara plays out. But once he came on the scene, I was like, this dude looks sweaty, like greasy and sleazy. And I was like, nah, bruh. But I did enjoy you know, that scene in the bar as well, which I'll talk about some more. But back to Reno and Stamets, basically the ability to handle two people in a room as well as Star Trek Discovery does it in all three of these seasons, it's a credit to the writing, the direction, the actors and actresses that they got on this joint. Dope. It's just dopeness. One thing that I like to see the continual growth of is Tilly. And I know Tilly, if you were with me back in season one, I did not like Tilly. I thought she was a nice person that meant well, but didn't need to be on the show. but what up, Mr. Black Culture? What up, what up? Man, Tilly has found a way to burrow herself into my heart in a way that I don't enjoy, because I couldn't stand the girl. But something happened when she went on the other side and she had to toughen up. I was like, you know what? I'm down with Tilly now. You know what I'm saying? I ain't mad at that girl. You know what I'm saying? I'm cool with her. You know what I'm saying? So her moment between Saru and herself as they're walking towards the colony, I thought was very, very telling about the friendship and the kinship and kind of like the family they've created on the ship, which is, you know, she's like, you could have brought anybody, you could have asked anybody, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, I'm talking because I'm scared. And he just looked at her in a very assuring way, like, I know you're scared. It's cool. Don't worry about it. We here. We going to be all right. And I love that, because normally the old Saru would be kind of upset and annoyed about her. But new Saru is very calm and loving and, you know, just assured of himself. And then seeing him say, you're the engineer I trust, that was awesome. That was beautiful. I like that moment. And then also the moment where they worked together very interestingly in the bar, I liked as well, where they were able to, even though they were way behind the eight ball with being a man and woman out of time, hey, they not only operated well as Starfleet, but they operated well as people that were kind of able to quickly ingratiate themselves to someone who doesn't know them and be able to work out a deal. shout out to Mr. Black Culture, say he's the captain now. And yes, Zara was wearing spurs in the 32nd century. I was like, okay, they're definitely making this a Western. Oh, man. But Saru is definitely a captain. Like, you know, I love Burnham, but he's the dude to lead. Yeah, and Burnham actually, you can see in season two that she had kind of backed up and she's like, I don't want to be captain. You could see that she was kind of moving away from wanting the captain spot. In season one, she definitely wanted, she was on the track to, like, you know, kind of be captain. That was kind of like on her mind. But in season two, you could tell that she was like, nah, I'm cool. You know what I'm saying? You know how when you think you want something a lot and then you get it or you get close to it, you have a proximity to it where you're like, you know what, this isn't really what I want. And I think that's the kind of the moments and the energy we had with Burnham around being captain and sitting in that chair. I think we got a lot of that in season two. But moving on, I wanted to ask you about how cool is programmable matter in the future. Man, look, all right, check this. I know the state we're in the world. I know what state we're in the U.S. But dag, I wish we could get to that Star Trek future. I really do. Programmable matter is like super duper 3D printing. Like, this is like 3D printing looks like House Party 2 compared to that thing. Like, man, yo, programmable matter? My dude, why can't we get, can we get there? I want to get there. I don't want to be here. I want to be with the programmable matter. I want to fly on spaceships and do cool things. And not like, alas, I know. Everyone, every time I bring up Star Trek, I also have to, because people will come in and be like, remember, before they got to that beautiful Star Trek future, they had a third world war, essentially a third world war. So I know. And, you know, the third world war, any world war ain't pretty. You know what I'm saying? But dang, man, that Star Trek future is so sweet. Programmable matter? Like, you can just hit a little button or a little pin or something and just build it up? Like, even, I mean, think about this. Think of how sick the Discovery is. When we start Discovery, Discovery is like the illest, newest space vessel. It's like super sweet. It has the jump drive, the spore drive. They can be like, pew, pew, go everywhere and do all kinds of cool stuff, right? Super duper sweet. Now they're in a place where it's like all your stuff is mad old. You know what I'm saying? And, dang, it would be so cool. Technomaster said, dang, I was just about to say the same thing about World War III. I know you had, because they're like, look, if you wanted to be like Star Trek, they had a third world war before they got their stuff together. Could we get it together without a third world war? Can we just skip that part? Be like, yo, we ain't gonna go to war. We just gonna stop all the BS, stop tripping, and then get our like Starfleet Federation on, and then like Earth is gonna be super sweet. Money's not gonna be an issue. You know what I'm saying? Cool technology stuff all over the place. People just having a good time. Whenever you see Earth in Star Trek, Earth is always cool. People just smiling and stuff. People just happy and free. You know what I'm saying? Why? I digress. All right. So anyway, slide that to the side. Last thing I wanted to get into was Keela. Okay. I'm really worried about Keela and where this might go. Because remember last season, but I know last season we had the robot, and hit me in the comments and let me know the name of the robot, because I can't think of it right now. I know last season, you know, one of the crew were kind of infiltrated. And I don't think that's the thing here. But I am worried that we're going to have a crew member that slowly loses all of their mental capacities. And Keela's cool, man. She's always been like a fun character. You know what I mean? She hasn't had been like the highlight of anything, you know what I'm saying? But I do think she's a dope character. And I know she's important to the crew and to the family of the crew. And I think it would be hard to see a season where someone's mental capabilities fade and maybe they're not able to perform their duties and they have to kind of like, they have to kick them off the squad. You know what I'm saying? They'll have to be, you know, like a regular, you know, I don't know, like citizen or something and not be on the crew. You know what I'm saying? I hope not. You know what I'm saying? I don't want that for her. You know what I'm saying? She's a dope character. And I know last season Arium was more like hacked. And I actually liked Arium. I thought Arium was super dope. But I don't want Keela, or Lieutenant Detmer or whatever, Decker Detmer or whatever, to, you know, end up being like a vegetable over this thing. You know what I'm saying? Especially when she came, you know, she put everything, you know, shot all the rubble and everything and created the ability to land as safe as they could land. Now shouts out to Mr. Black Culture said, remember Star Trek is supposed to reflect the society, USA, etc. this time. And also Technomaster said Discovery is vintage, but with the bust up Subspace and the Burn, the Spore Drive may make them the flagship, at least that's where I think they're going. Yeah, because the Spore Drive is going to be dope, especially if we have any, if the Spores remember or have any memory of their connection to the Federation, you know what I'm saying? And the ability to use it and maybe to help lend a hand or whatever. So yeah, the Spore Drive is dope, man. Like, and hopefully we'll be able to see it move some more, because in that first season when they had that fight scene where it was like, you know, jumping all around the ship and shooting it, that was dope. When they did, like a crazy fight sequence where the ship did like 56 jumps or something stupid, crazy number like that. And it was dope. It was super dope. So speaking of the ship, since I've kind of talked about all the characters I want to get into, speaking of the ship, the Discovery is a pretty sturdy ship. Like, let's just look at this episode for a moment. Okay, so comes through. Oh, remember, this ship just finished fighting a battle. All right, come through the wormhole. Pew, pew. All right, come through the wormhole. Right. Then immediately into crashing into all kinds of asteroids, little minerals and rocks or whatever, just all over it, right? Then crash land on the surface, and the ship is still in one piece. I mean, yeah, there's like communications out, but this is a well-built ship. Like, they did not spare, they spared no expense on this ship. I'm just telling you, because I'm just saying, I'm glad Boeing didn't make that thing. That's all I'm going to say, because, you know how they get down. So that was cool. Also, that they were able to get through the crushing parasitic ice that also, you know, so, hey, look, kudos to the people that made the Discovery. You know, all them folks, whoever picked the titanium or something, you did a good job. You know what I'm saying? Because Mama said there would be days, I mean, Mama never said there'd be days like this. All right, when she built the Discovery. So we'll see what we see. But with that said, this is another episode that I dig. I like the fact that we got a little reunion at the end of the episode. Let's see, Technomaster said, the final battle of season 2 in which Discovery and the Enterprise fought that battle with Control was what I've been looking to see. Federation starships are supposed to be capital ships. And another cool thing is with Control, because that was, I want to say that was 2018. I can't remember. I think it was 2018. But whatever year that was, I don't think it was 2019. I think it was 2018. But if it was 2019, whatever year it was, I was like, Star Trek Discovery has the best season finale of any show this year. Now, I know it was two parts, but bottom line, man, season 2 finale was on a whole, from a spectacle level, from an effects level, from an acting and direction level, cinematography. Like, yo, Star Trek Discovery, man, people are still sleeping on this show. Like, straight up, people are still sleeping on this show for no reason. And then Technomaster says, meaning they can take a lot of hits, but still lay down some beat down. In the Next Generation era, they kept showing starships go down with a couple of hits. And be like, they get hit twice. You be like, yo, what happened? Be like, yo, Klingons be shooting at us all day. We be like, evasive maneuver. Doing all kinds of stuff, moving the shields to the back, giving more power to the front, all kinds of things. And the other ships, they get shot one time and kaboosh, they gone. So, man, look, I don't know. I mean, of course, it needs to happen for the story too. But still, I enjoyed this episode, liked it a lot. I'm glad that we have our reunion. And on the smaller notes, I like that there is a opening, a need, a wanting for the Federation to return. And I believe the wanting for the Federation to return is because of stuff like Zara. Also, what I think will make this season very interesting is because all of the people like Zara, people at the Exchange, they're not going to want the Federation Starfleet to return. They're going to be like, yeah, we're like, uh, we like it like we got it. So I am quite interested to see exactly how they play just this kind of shift, because we got the Discovery and the guy at the watchtower said there were two ships, right? So we have three ships, maybe. But, you know, just because it's three ships doesn't mean everybody gonna get along. And everybody might not have, you know, the same skill level, the same tolerance level, or the same enthusiasm that maybe Michael Burnham and the Discovery will have. Maybe their enthusiasm will kind of like reinvigorate and regenerate and rejuvenate or whatever everybody. Who knows? Because they have been waiting for a long time for the Starfleet to return. So maybe the people are excited to see them. But maybe there's a lot of hate and, you know, disdain, because they're like, yo, where y'all been? You know, they're like, what are y'all doing? Like, we needed you, kind of thing. So I really want to see how the season plays out, where we go. Also, to remark on last episode, I love Book Ship. That ship is cool. It reminds me of a B-Wing, but better. So I'm all for that little cool, it looks like a knife, and, you know, that ship is just sweet. If I get a chance to have a ship, I want a ship like that. shouts to Mr. Black Culture said people are not going to love the those shows until years later. This is made for the new generation. And then Technomaster says, why be a model well-adapted citizen in a utopia when I could be an amoral space cowboy, crime lord, bad boy, bad guys got swag? You can have swag and be good, too. Oh, man. We saw this episode, bad guys got swag, but bad guys got beat up. You know what I'm saying? Got your neck snapped, like, straight out. But, yeah. I do think there's going to be a lot of pushback, if you will, from people saying, no, we like this lawlessness just like we got it. Oh, man. And then Mr. Black Coach says, waiting to see this Love Jones story, how this Love Jones story turns out, too. I guess you mean between Burnham and Book? Because I think they're already good together, man. Plus, it's been a year. So the next time we see them together, he might be like, hey, girl. No, I was just playing. He won't do that. That'd be wrong. Oh, man. So, guys, with that said, thank you for coming through. Thank you for chilling. all right. Man, I'm crazy. So, NERD, SOUL, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all them places. YouTube is the hub. You know what I'm saying? Hit that thumbs up. If you like what you're seeing, hit that thumbs down. If you don't, if you hit that thumbs down, I'm going to send Zara after you, all right? He's going to be wearing nothing but Spurs. Nothing but Spurs, all right? Podcasts, if you want to listen, wherever you get your podcasts at, just search Nerd Soul. I'm going to be right there going to hit that 5 stars or whatever, all that good stuff. And some music. Spotify, too. Don't sleep. Nerd Soul is up on there. I got some modest jams for you. Just a small, some baby hits, if you will. Technomaster says, shoot, Burnham and Book been cupcaking big time. Yo, man, she been here for a year. You know what I'm saying? Be like, hey, living it up. See, she got new hair. Woo! Oh, Book been living it up. Yeah. Space love. So, guys, I'm gonna leave y'all with Arcatron. That's ArcKatron.com. He made the Space Bridge. It's in stores now. You can stream it, buy it, all that stuff. Check it out. That's the Space Bridge. Space Bridge is one word. And yo, man, till next time, when we get our real reunion, it's going to be all good. But for me to you and Nerd Soul Light, who Nerd Soul Light just like, look, we ain't doing it today. But from us to you, peace. And a woo for you, and a woo for you, and a futuristic woo for you. Peace, y'all. Yeah.